Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and 5 minutes late, this is Tuesday, the 25th of June, 2 days before, I don't know, I hesitate to call it the great debate, because it's probably going to be the great circus, but it's 2 days away. And trying to figure out what these two people are going to do is, of course, extremely difficult. One of the points is that Joe Biden has really no choice. He just has to listen to what Trump says and deal with it. Because who knows what Trump is going to do? If Trump had any sense, and it's so funny, everybody's saying the same thing. That all he has to do, and by the way, this is both sides. All he has to do is come in and act like a human being. This is what I said yesterday. That's all he has to do. And if he does that, he's going to look fantastic. And people are going to say, what's everybody afraid of? And that's going to be the end of it. Now, that's not what's going to happen. That's just not. We can sit here 2 days ahead of this, and we can be sure that Trump is going to come in and act insane. If his people have told him, don't do it, he'll do it anyway. He is going to go in, and he is going to be absolutely ridiculous, and Joe Biden is going to know exactly what to do to handle that. He'll fact check him live on TV, and Trump will not be able to speak back because his microphone's going to be turned off. He's agreed to this already. Now, what he could do, of course, and I've said this a couple of times yesterday and the day before on Friday. I mean, all he's got to do is run across the room and start a fight. I don't know. I would think not. My guess is that he wouldn't do that. But if he's put under enough pressure, he might. And the pressure would come from Biden, because Joe Biden knows that there are certain hot buttons that he can hit, which will send Donald Trump to the moon. He knows it. And there are things that aren't wrong. There's nothing wrong even with saying them. It's just that he knows which buttons to push to just drive Trump insane. He'll respond, and he won't respond intelligently and quietly. He'll respond in some insane fashion. And really, the funny thing about it is they're all describing this on TV. Everybody's saying it. And they're all saying that Trump can't control himself. So surely Trump or his people would hear this, and they would come back and say, this is very simple. Just ignore it, Donald. But you watch and see what Donald does 2 days from now. He's not going to ignore anything. He's going to go nuts in some fashion. I can't tell you exactly how, but he's going to go crazy. And the people running the show are going to tell him to back off, sit down, and cut it out. And he probably, in my opinion, will walk out. He will not adhere to these rules. I don't think. But we'll see. And, you know, a lot of people are sitting here waiting for this. just to see how it works out. You know, how's the circus going to end? It's a shame that the country has come to that. You know, I would recommend to you, instead of wasting your time on this, go pick up a copy, which you could get for probably $5, $10 on Amazon. Pick up a copy of The Making of the President 1960, which was the first book in the series. And it was written by historian Theodore White. Excellent, excellent book about presidential elections. Go read it. Don't even watch this. You can go, first of all, the way things are today, you can watch it later. Watch it the next morning. Watch it after you find out what actually happens. I mean, you don't need to watch this car wreck. Now, I'm going to watch the car wreck. I am. But you don't have to, because you know it is going to be a car wreck. I mean, I want to be able to talk about it, but I can tell you that for most people, this is not necessary to see him act crazy and to go, ha, 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 this is hysterical. No, this is not hysterical. This is the way our country is supposed to pick the next person that will both lead the country and lead the world. I'm not going to even say the free world, because honestly, the world. The president of the United States is the most powerful person on the planet. This person should have a great deal of ability to judge what's going on around him and to make statements that people can rely on. Not all this lunacy. Not to say that this is a reality show. It's not a reality show. Oh, it's reality, all right, but it's not a show. Donald just wants a bunch of people to come in and watch him. He wants a lot of attention. It's all he ever wanted. So that's what he's trying to do here. He's trying to get attention, and he's going to get it. Okay, so let's talk about getting attention. You can run this clip, Joe. This is the one that on YouTube that I sent you to your yeah, that one. So this is the one where Donald Trump tells everybody how the blood of America is being poisoned by immigrants. And remember, this is Hitler's words. Go ahead.
You know, when they let, I think the real number is 15, 16 million people into our country. When they do that, we got a lot of work to do. They're poisoning the blood of our country. That's what they've done. They poison mental institutions and prisons all over the world, not just in South America, not just the three or four countries that we think about, but all over the world. They're coming into our country from Africa, from Asia, all over the world. They're pouring into our country.
Okay, so from Africa and Asia. So just, you know, gratuitously throws in Asia, but Africa? Really? What's all that about? I didn't hear him say anybody was coming from Norway. In fact, I've heard him say we should get people to come from Norway, but let's forget that. Just what he's saying that is 100% Adolf Hitler. So, you know, when I talk about the Unified Reich, which it's so funny, he put it up, the Unified Reich, that's going to be his administration. And then when everybody started saying this is Hitler, they made him take it down, his people. So he took it down, and now he says it wasn't there. But it was there. And it's available to be seen. I haven't pulled it up here. It's there. Everybody knows it was there. He knows it was there. He says somebody put it up there. Somebody put it up there. There are only two people that have access to his account. One is the guy, whoever he is, that he puts in charge of actually posting things on there for him. And then the other one is him. Those two. There's no one else. So the guy working for him was either torpedoing Trump or Trump told him to put it there. You know he did. And this business about it wasn't there, come on. He says that about everything. Every time he gets in trouble, he says, not me. I didn't say it. Yeah, and I've got a clip for that, which I don't have available here, but another day, because this is a constant thing to talk about, and I just didn't get this one. Okay, so the point of what he said, as you heard him a moment ago, was about the immigrants, and that's really what I wanted to talk about today more than anything. Is this whole thing having to do with immigration? And the reason is because, you know, we say that this is a country of immigrants. We say that. And I think that actually it's probably fair to say that this is, in fact, a country of immigrants. It just is. So hang on here. Let's see if I can pull this up, because this is the basic idea of all of this. And let's get that over here, and let's pull it up right here. Nope, that's not the one. Come on, Kaysen. Isn't that stupid? Okay, so I guess what I'm going to tell you is I don't have it here. And the reason I just wanted to do this, I wanted to give you the exact words. Okay, maybe it's over on this one. And you know, we all know the words. We know the words on this. But I still want to give you the exact words, because just exact is kind of a good thing. And after all that, isn't it stupid that it looks like I don't... Oh, nope, I got it. Okay, so it took a minute. I'll learn to become more organized in the future. Okay, so here we go. Here are the words on the Statue of Liberty. And I know people say, well, it's not the law. No, it's not the law. But it is the language that has guided this country for 200 years. It's not the law, but it is the language that has guided us. And that language is sitting in New York Harbor right now on the Statue of Liberty. And really, if we decided that we don't believe in this anymore, we could just pull down the Statue of Liberty. Why not? If we don't believe it. But if we believe it, then it's there. It's there for everybody to see. So here are the words. It's a great words. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse, that's garbage, of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. So, come on now. Yeah, thank you, Joe. Thank you. So, you know, what's the deal here? Do we believe it or don't we? Now, if we don't, take that thing down. And I suspect that if Donald Trump had the opportunity, which he won't, that he would take the Statue of Liberty down. I think he would. I'm surprised he didn't do it the first time. Now he knows he can do some of these things. But anyway, that language is very clear. It doesn't say, send us your best people and keep the bad ones home. It doesn't say that. It says, send us the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. You get it? The homeless, tempest-tossed to the United States. So, you know, when Donald gets up there and says, these are murderers, they're criminals, they're this and they're that, well, guess what? That's what the Statue of Liberty says. Send them here because they're yearning to breathe free. Send them here. It doesn't say only send us the white ones. It doesn't say that. Donald told us in his words, from Africa and Asia, we don't want them. They are the ones who are poisoning our blood. You just heard it. They are poisoning our blood. Those are the words of Adolf Hitler. Now, he still says it. He hasn't even backed down from that. I mean, he did for a couple of days, and then he came right back on it. But you can see, you heard the words. This is what he's saying. It's what Hitler said about the Jews. Poisoning the blood of Germany. These people are poisoning the blood of America. So we're on this Hitler thing. Can you give me the Morning Joe clip? This is a comedian, of course, Martin Short. And listen to what he had to say about Hitler. Yeah, right there is good.
Well, did you wake up 9 a.m. here in the East? Yeah, Joe, people change their minds. One day, a guy might be Hitler. The next day, you want to be his vice president. It happens.
Exactly. America's Hitler.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to back it up for a second. I want to catch that part, but just a couple of inches back, and you'll have Martin Short. Okay, coming up. It'll be there he is, I think. Was that him? Oh no, okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, no, you pass it. It's right at the hour, like right at the right at the hour. So like 3 hours and 1 minute. There it is. Yeah, okay.
He once said that he wouldn't do business with Trump. Doug Burgum sounds like the name of your most annoying coworker. Oh, great, look who's calling. It's Doug Burgum from accounting. Then we have Senator Marco Rubio from Florida. He called Trump a con artist. Or should we go to doormat number three? Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, who said he thought Trump was either a cynical like Nixon or America's Hitler. When have you ever said something like that about someone and then changed your mind?
Marty Short filling in for Jimmy Kimmel last night. Welcome to the fourth hour of Morning Joe, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. Did you wake up? 9 a.m. here in the East. Yeah, Joe, people change their minds. One day, A guy might be Hitler. The next day, you want to be his vice president. It happens.
Exactly. America's Hitler. And if you vote for him, you're not a good Christian. One day, the next day, let me join that team. That's exactly where we are with all these guys.
Yes, it certainly is. They'll be watching closely.
Okay. So, yeah. J.D. Vance, who, boy, I would think that he's the one that is going to be the vice presidential pick. And he described Trump as Adolf Hitler. He said, this is the American Adolf Hitler. And you know, the problem is like this business of changing your mind. If you're saying that somebody is Adolf Hitler, how does that get changed? I mean, where's the nuance in all of this that allows you to switch from he's Adolf Hitler to actually he's a good guy? How do you get there? Well, the answer is you don't, unless there's something wrong with you. And there is something wrong with these people for sure. And this is, to me, this is like almost identical. It's very close to the nonsense involving Joan Rivers that we talked about yesterday. I mean, they're still talking about it everywhere. How do you recall a conversation with Joan Rivers when she was dead? Now, you could have had a conversation with Joan Rivers about something else when she was alive in 2014, but not Donald Trump running for president and you voted for him. See, you couldn't do that because he didn't even know he was going to run in 2014. So he did not have a conversation with her in 2014 where she said, I'm voting for Trump, or I voted for Trump, which is what he says. So it didn't happen in 2014, we know that. And then in 2016, she was dead. And then in 2020, she was still dead. So when she was initially dead, she didn't vote for Trump. And then later on, when she continued to be dead, she still didn't vote for Trump. And she certainly didn't tell Trump that she voted for him. So guess what? He lied. So, you know, in addition to being Adolf Hitler, he's a liar. He's just a flat out liar. Now, Hitler was also a liar. Yeah. But you know, who was better? You're going to have to let the historians sort that one out. But there's no question that it's a lie to say that Joan Rivers told him that she voted for him. That's just a lie. He made it up because he wanted to be able to say it. And first of all, Joan Rivers, that's important. You got to lie about that? I mean, lie about something else. Lie about John Kennedy. Say John Kennedy voted for you. Don't say Joan Rivers did it. I mean, that's insane. Who cares what Joan Rivers did? But he's a liar. He can't control himself. That's why he's going to do what you're going to see at this debate. Because he cannot control himself. He's going to say things that are just flat out not true. It's what he always does. Every rally, he lies. He just gets up there and tells lies over and over and over and over. Now, the rules say that the moderators can't jump in and call him on his lie. But Joe Biden can. And Joe Biden's going to do it. And when he does it, Donald's going to go berserk. And that's the ball game. It's not good. So how about this one? Because it's the same subject. Same subject. Where does he come up with these idiotic ideas? This just a couple days ago. He said that what we should do is we should have the immigrants who come over And he said, not just from South America, he said, from everywhere. He said, these people are bad people. They're dangerous and they're powerful. And he said, when they get here, we should set up a league of immigrant fighters so that they can fight each other. And then after we find out who's the strongest of the immigrants, that they should fight against whatever that league of fighters really is that we have here. I don't even know what it is, but it doesn't matter. But it's, you know, it's like wrestling, and it's just an entertainment thing. But now he wants to set up a league of immigrant fighters to fight against these other people that are out here fighting. And then he said, well, by the way, he said, was it UFC? Is that what it?
Yeah,
UFC. That he's sure that the immigrants would win. That they would win because they're tougher. Now, I don't have a clip for this, but I do have something for you to read. And I've mentioned this before. And I can only say do this because Trump is out here saying these things. And so you need to know the truth. It's just like when people say that crime has risen to a 50-year high, and three-quarters of the American people say that because they've been talked into it by Trump and others. So that's clearly wrong. There are official United States statistics that show that our crime rate is actually at a 50-year low. Not a 50-year high, a 50-year low. And by the way, not up a little, but actually it's down a little. No, it's not that. This is the difference between a 50-year high and a 50-year low. So, you know, the thing that we can probably agree on is that if we're at an extreme, you know, crime, it's either a 50-year high or a 50-year low. Well, the answer is a 50-year low. And three-quarters of the people think it's a 50-year high. But here's my point. We believe the same thing about immigrants. We believe that these people come over here and that they dangerously attack Americans. And I forget even what show it was the other day. They had a clip where somebody pointed out an immigrant who came over here and murdered somebody. And that was true. That was absolutely true. But the problem is, that was one. There are 15 million, maybe. Donald says there are 15 million. So the statistics here say there are 11, 12, somewhere in that range. What's the difference? It really doesn't matter. It could be 25 million. Because I can tell you right now, they do not commit crimes at anywhere close to the rate of American citizens. It's not even close. Somebody will say, well, we don't need any crime at all. Well, I'm sorry. Go back and read the words on the Statue of Liberty. Because the Statue of Liberty doesn't say, give us your really nice PhDs who are going to come over here and be extremely courteous and add to the value of the country. Doesn't say that. It says, send us your refuse. It says, send us the huddled masses, the poor, the poorest of the poor, yearning to breathe free. That's who we told everybody to send. And when they send them here and they're brown or black, then we have a problem. I mean, that's what this is about. This is about brown and black people. That's all this is about. And again, you heard Donald say it. Donald's worried that these people are going to come from Africa and Asia. They're going to cause chaos in our country. And they're not causing any chaos at all. In fact, the only person that's causing any chaos in all of this is Trump. He's the one who's causing chaos. And, you know, I won't even do this. Hang on. I'm gonna go to Wendy's and these three places, and let's do a little business. And then I'll come back and we'll deal with the rest of this. So if you're hungry, come on. You don't have to figure it out. Wendy's is at 18,500. No, it isn't. It's at 18,000. Too bad I can't read. 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And that is in the valley. And I can tell you right now, Wendy's has great food. And actually, if you go past Wendy's, you can get to the studio, which I didn't know that we had this problem. And anyway, that's why I was 5 minutes late. But you go right to Wendy's and cut a left, or a right. It's going south. And you're going to find your way up to the studio. Well, the bottom line is, if you're going there, just go to Wendy's. Forget the studio. Go get something to eat. You'll really enjoy it. And you're going to get the greatest food you can get. You're going to get wings. Everybody loves wings, right? I don't know. Why don't I like wings? But anyway, everybody loves wings. They love them. And you can get those at Wendy's. They're the best. And then, of course, you got everything else that you can get at Wendy's, like smoked meats, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, patty melts, pizza, really good pizza, salads. Don't forget, baby back ribs, and they are great. You're going to love them, along with my other favorites, which that's the onion rings. So go to Wendy's and eat well. They've got great food. Love it. You don't have to listen to all this craziness. They'll probably have a baseball game up there, which, by the way, speaking of baseball, hard to believe. Look where we are. Do you know that the Cardinals have the best record in baseball since May 12th? In the National League anyway. The best record in the National League since May 12th. And we are now three games over 500 after we beat the Braves last night. We're actually beating tough teams now. And I've been to Wendy's where they have the games on. I know they do that. So go to Wendy's, watch a great game. Somehow we're catching the Brewers. Four games out on the loss side. Go watch baseball at Wendy's. You'll love it. Now, if you want jewelry, then you're going to flip over the other side of town to 4506 Hampton. And that's Jewels on Hampton. And they've got jewelry throughout that facility. They've got cases and cases and cases of great jewelry at great prices. And all you have to do is walk in there and talk to Al and AJ, because they'll help you out to figure out what you need to do if you're looking for jewelry. They'll help you with designs. Whether it's their design or your design, doesn't matter. At Jewels on Hampton, they're going to take care of everything, and they're going to make it good, really good. You're going to love your jewelry. If you're going there to buy or sell jewelry and coins, They do that as well. Great prices. You're going to love Al and AJ. They are really nice people. And don't forget, if you walk out of there and you look down at your wrist and you're trying to figure out where you're going next, what time it is, and your watch is broken, give them your watch. They'll fix it. That's at Jewels on Hampton. How about the suits? Well, that's the St. Louis Suit Company. And the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton is really the cutting edge when it comes to men's clothing. And you know, my family all laughs at me because I talk about this new fashionable menswear, which includes suits and jeans. And I say suits, sport coats. So they people are buying sport coats and they're wearing jeans. Now, they're not wearing ripped up jeans that are falling off. No, no. But they're wearing nice jeans, tennis shoes, in my case, the Chucks. And I'm just going with the fashion because I like it. So you can too, and you're going to look really good. You're going to look all dressed up, but you're going to be fashionable and you're going to fit in with where America's dress code is in 2024. And that's all because of the St. Louis Suit Company on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton. They've been there for 29 years. They'll be there for a whole lot longer because they just do a great job. When it comes to the weddings, that's the place to go for wedding attire. The St. Louis Suit Company, they're big on that. Just a great store for men's clothing, shirts, shoes, overcoats. And if you walk in there and see the ties, you're going to fall right over when you find out that those ties cost you $5. It's crazy. But that's the price. It's been that way for years. Jay says he's not changing it. And that's the end of the story. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. We love them. Okay. So here's a good one for you. You know, I'm off the immigration for a minute. Although I shouldn't be totally off. I should finish it up by saying this, which I say all the time. The United States led the world with the Peace Corps in 1960. We sent young kids, high school graduates, college students, we sent them all over the world to the most dangerous places on the planet to help people to find a way to fit into their societies, to succeed, to do a great job, to have better lives, to be more healthy. This is what we did, and when we did it, we were so proud of ourselves, and we loved John Kennedy for this idea. We thought this was phenomenal. He had really done something important, and we decided that this was the best of America. So all I'm saying is this. Take 1 million high school graduates. And you know, everybody's out here saying college is a waste of time. Don't go to college. There's no value in it whatsoever. Of course, as a result, we know colleges are closing. Fonbonne is closing. Article in the paper 2 days ago. Lindenwood is cutting back dramatically on its staff. Professors, everybody. Everything. This isn't just those two. It's all over the country. Because we've told our people, don't go to college. You know, when we came back from World War II, we told our people, go to college. Go to college, and we will pay for it. And what did we create? A great 20-year period of growth that this country never saw before then and has never seen since. It was phenomenal because we sent all these people to college and we paid for it. Now, when I say this, I have people say to me, well, those guys were fighting. Okay, so they were fighting. What's the difference? If instead of fighting, they had gone off and taken a trip to the south of France and laid in the sun for 4 years and then came back and then we sent them to college, how would that have been different? The answer is it wouldn't have been. The fact that they fought meant nothing. People talk about moral hazard. Sending people to school, paying for them, if they haven't done what others did, which involves sacrifice. Well, guess what? So just don't do that at all. Just send everybody. Send them all. If you want to go to college, you go to college. And by the way, you can send them to the first 2 years of community college, which is very inexpensive. And many of them could go for free almost anyway because of what we call Pell Grants. I mean, there's a way to do these things. But we just don't value college. We say it's a waste of time. I say send these young kids, high school graduates, to the border. I've had people say to me, do you know the danger you'd be putting those kids in? And my response is, what are you talking about? These kids are going to go to the border, and you're going to tell me that's more dangerous than going somewhere in Africa where they've got people that are abducting other people or Mexico? You go to Mexico, you know what's happening down there. They're killing the mayors. The drug cartel people, they're doing all these terrible things. But those aren't the people who are coming to the United States now. Those people are doing this in Mexico. They can't come here and make that money. They make that money there. The ones who come here are trying to get away from that violence. So, okay, you send a million of our young high school graduates to the border. And first of all, gives them a purpose. You know, a lot of the kids don't know what they want to do when they come out of high school. Send them to the border. They will learn so much about life, the struggles in life that people go through in order to try to survive and to help their families, to feed them. And, you know, if you send these kids down there and they help the immigrants so that they can do better, well, then these young people will come back, go to college, and these experiences they will bring back to the college classroom, and it will help them to make judgments about maybe what they want to do in life that they haven't figured out yet. And there's research on this that is tremendous. It's just as good as that research that I'm telling you. You can read on my webpage, talkstl.net, and it tells you exactly how much crime there is among immigrants. And the answer is very low. That's research. So you see, there's research on the value of young people mentoring others, especially others who are worse off than they are, and give them some experience in helping people to struggle through life and succeed, and then they can come back and find things that they want to do in their lives, which would involve struggle and succeeding. This is not very difficult to figure out. However, you know that if you're running for office in the United States and you come up with this insane idea that I'm talking about, which is nothing but the Peace Corps. It's the Peace Corps. When we did it in the first place, it was considered one of the greatest inspirations of our time. And if you do it today to help these immigrants who are coming across the border, yearning to breathe free, then you're some kind of a madman because of Donald Trump. Because people are listening to this, and I don't know why they believe it. I can't tell you for a minute why they believe it. You know, I didn't point this out, but when we ran the clip where Trump was talking about Hitler and the poisoning the blood of America and all that, the young people up on the stage were laughing and joking, and they thought it was hysterically funny. It's not funny. It's not funny at all. Channeling the words of Hitler, that's not funny. That's pathetic and verging, as far as I'm concerned, on criminal behavior for a United States leader, although you certainly don't need to get Donald on that if you want criminal convictions, because we've already got a criminal conviction, and that's a good thing. That's exactly where he belongs, in jail. And, you know, the good thing about it is, if you look at the polls are now moving. Instead of some of them, which had briefly shown Donald ahead of Biden, all of these polls are switching. Now, the reason is also very clear. Independents are switching their votes. These are not the Republican cultists. These are not the crazy people drinking Kool-Aid. These are our independent voters who are a little worried about Joe Biden. And look, there is something to worry about, of course. I mean, a question you would want to ask: when Joe Biden's 85 years old, he's 81 now. When he's 85, is he going to be able to handle this job? Well, that's a good question. It's also a good question: can Donald Trump handle it when he's 82? He's 78. So, you know, when you get to the end of your presidency, if you're in your 80s, there are certainly some questions. Now, I've pointed out that Stephen Breyer, former justice on the Supreme Court, who retired 2 years ago, he's now 85, and I saw him on TV talking as a person being interviewed, and he was completely on top of his game at 85 years old. No problems. We know for a fact that John Paul Stevens retired from the Supreme Court when he was 91 years old. Totally on top of his game. He lived another 8 years. I was going to say nine, but eight. He lived to 99. And when he was 98, 99, he was still writing for top magazines in the United States about legal issues. I don't know if Joe Biden can do that. I really don't. And no one who's mouthing off knows it either. Wait till you see what he does at this debate. This is only 2 days away. He's going to be extraordinarily good at this debate. And what's Trump saying about that? I mean, where does this come from? Listen to what he's saying. He's saying that Joe Biden is going to be pumped up on drugs. Now, you know that they're not going to pump him up on drugs, number one. And number two, and other people have said this, they've said it for the last week, I've heard many people interviewed on programs, and they all have family members who suffer from dementia. And everybody agrees that there isn't one family member suffering from dementia who can be made to look normal by simply giving them drugs. There are no drugs for this. This is nonsense. But the Republican Party's running around repeating the words of Trump that Joe Biden will be pumped up on drugs. That's why he's going to come across in such a good way, despite the fact that everyone knows that if you've got dementia, you can't pump somebody up. You cannot give somebody a monster drink loaded with caffeine and think they're going to be okay if they've got dementia. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work. It's not true. It is another Trump lie. Joe Biden is not going to be pumped up on drugs in order to do whatever he does on Thursday. Whatever he does is going to be what Joe Biden is capable of. Now, I did have another clip, and I don't have it, so let's forget it. But I'm going to tell you what it is. In the New York Times this weekend, they showed Joe Biden's inner circle. The top advisors that he has used for his entire time in the Senate and now in the presidency. And all three of these people are old white men. Okay. These were his friends. He talks to them about his problems, about things going on in government. And these people have extensive experience in government, and they give him feedback. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we all know that Joe Biden has picked for important positions all throughout the United States government. Women, black women, black men, Hispanics, everybody you can imagine. He has brought in people in order to create diversity. I know in 2024, when you say diversity, people act like there's something wrong. And in fact, you've got companies, I mentioned this briefly yesterday, you got companies that are going out of their way to not hire for diversity, which they had always done. And they're turning back on it. And let me just say this, because I come from the securities business. I was a stock trader all my life, early life. And I always said, it was true, they did not hire black people in the securities business. Now, I know along the way, there was a black CEO who became the head of American Express. So, yeah, everybody jumped up and down. That was a great thing. But, you know, if you go into the offices of advisors or stockbrokers, whatever you want to call it, you will find that the number of black participants is extremely low. Now, if young black kids go to MIT, Wharton, you know, where Donald went, and of course they said he was the worst student they ever had. But you go to these great schools and do a good job, get great grades, don't cheat. Donald cheated, they said. But at any rate, go there and do well. You can come out and Goldman Sachs will hire you for $175,000. I can tell you right now that generally it's not young black kids who are getting those jobs. Those jobs are going to young white kids who have connections to get into those schools. And then somebody doesn't tell these young black kids that if they don't make it into the NFL, that they can still go out and make millions in the securities industry. No one tells them. And they don't get there. I can tell you that. And right now, we are backing away from diversity and equity and inclusion because you got a bunch of crazy Republicans running around suggesting that this is communism or some such foreign program. It's all nonsense. This could be done right. And we should include a lot of these groups that are blocked into these jobs, just as we've included women. White women mostly, but now black women increasingly. So we can do this, and we should do it. But you have to explicitly decide to tell your people this is what you're going to do, and then it's got to be an intentional program. Because it's terrible that you go back 40 years, and it's the same problem just for... I'm just telling you, the securities industry, same thing. No blacks then, very few blacks now. It's wrong, and we could make it different, and we should. But we don't like migrants, and we don't like people who aren't white, and we don't like people who don't follow the Ten Commandments, which they want to put up in schools. And again, you could read the Ten Commandments. There's nothing wrong. Everything in there is great. Sure, honor your parents. Don't steal, Donald, who's already had to pay $500 million for stealing from banks and insurance companies. But really, the Ten Commandments, no problem. You just can't put them up in school because it's a religion that may not comport with what other people are doing in this country who don't want to be pushed in that direction and, according to the Constitution, do not have to be pushed in that direction and shouldn't be. There's so much that we can do right here. The first thing we have to do is take Donald Trump and send him to the place that I have recommended for as long as I can remember Donald Trump being in our presence. Deposit him on the trash heap of history. Same place we put Joe McCarthy, and it's a great place for Donald Trump as well. So let me remind you, this is Showdown, brought to you by Wendy's, Jules on Hampton, and the St. Louis Suit Company. And let me just mention that in the next couple of days, I have some kids coming on, young kids going on to Mizzou who did some great things up in Jeff City, and we're going to talk about what they did along with the Missouri Black Caucus. But right now, I got to go. I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.